Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So we're getting a lot of good responses all over social media. It's fantastic, and love to see and hear what you guys have to say about your holiday. And there's no doubt about it, Lamont and Black Swan and others, that sectional plate, that's kind of paper, kind of styrofoam,
separate
was,
but equal,
was an absolute must in our house. We had to have those. And my mom wasn't doing the damn dishes anyway. And she always insisted, by the way, that if you're a true potential marriage candidate for my son, you damn well better be at that sink helping her do all the dishes afterwards. But at the same time, those plates were an absolute must. You had to have those. And by the way, in the Midwest, everybody's like, oh, you know what? Sausage and this and that and the other thing. Let me tell you something. When you grow up north, one of the first field trips they take you on when you're able to process and be cognizant of things around you is the Usinger sausage plant. As Calvin Murphy used to describe it.
There's a plant that grows sausage?
Yeah, sure. So when you go through and tour that bad boy, and you figure out that in order to make hot dogs and things, they basically use everything from the rooter to the tooter, as Murph would say, it changes your whole perspective on eating that stuff. Everybody else thinks it's a delicacy and they can't get enough. When you know what goes into them, not so much.
Hey, man, don't be ruining Thanksgiving for people.
No, dude, and look, and bratwursts are phenomenal, but when you talk about like hot dogs and things like that, and you think, boof.
I'll eat a hot dog. I don't know. Who cares?
Oh, yeah.
First of all, after you had your salad tossed, we know you'll eat a hot dog.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I don't. I'm not going to sit here and lie. And by the way, Scott Deer Park, no, I don't want your sausage that he offered me, basically, penis sausage. I'll pass. I'll pass. But you're not. You go to a ball game, you don't need a hot dog,
Joel. Nope, never. Absolutely not. Really? I can't tell you.
You don't eat bratwurst.
Bratwurst every now when you like when I go back home to a tailgate party or something like that. Yes, but I'm just saying it's for the most. The same, I can't tell you the last time I had a hot dog.
Still got some cow butt in there and all that. I mean,
I can't
the
remember
same.
The last time I ate. You know what? I can't remember the last time I ate a hot dog.
I had hot dogs years. Last week.
Literally,
I had them last week. I don't understand. I don't understand why that's a. I mean, just don't look at it. Whatever.
Well, I mean, look. It's each his own. But I mean. Hot dog is what the plant, when you do the field trip, you see how they make hot dogs.
Yeah.
Now, bratwursts are different, and especially because you can, bratwursts are determined by not the rooter and the tooter. It's just pork. It's just a lot of, it's like the real meat part of it. But the hot dog thing, mm-mm.
But it doesn't taste bad. That's just it. It's fine.
I grew up on hot dogs. But once you grow up on them until you figure out what's in them, and then it changes your perspective a little bit.
The one thing that I ate that I could never do that I just absolutely, I had chitlins one time. Have you ever had chitlins? Have you?
Never.
I've seen them. Ooh. I ain't going no near. Travis talked about this the other day. He ain't doing them ever.
I ate them one time at a friend's house. And I was out.
He said
that
he'll do like, pig's feet and oxtail, but he ain't doing chitlins.
I had no good.
But you get more positive on the oxtail than it. Pig's feet, I'm not even touching that. But the oxtail, that's a little bit different.
I would sit here and tell you
or
I wouldn't
oxtail,
eat.
Or oxtail, depending on our intern.
I wouldn't eat tongue either, but then my wife tricked me into that. And
yeah,
apparently
I'm not doing bad. I'm not doing the tongue. I'm not into liver.
Matt from Beaumont texted in and said, my company gives you double pay for working holidays. It's only optional if you've been there more than 3 years.
Yeah, some companies do it right.
Yeah.
Some of them do it right.
Absolutely right. And if they feed you too, that's a double bonus.
Yeah, somebody said, Joel, you know how to eat gravy over the turkey, mashed potatoes,
absolutely.
And dressing.
Absolutely.
That's on point, my man. What else? Yeah. Somebody was betting that you're Joel's dad beating up the son-in-law.
Without question, I just told you guys in the break. There's no doubt. My dad tortured my sister's boyfriends and husbands and things. Oh my God, there were four total between the two girls. He didn't like any of them, and he made sure they not only knew about it, but that they like feared walking into our living room door every year for every holiday, like birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. They never wanted to come because the minute they sat down, one, they already knew they were in for it, but two, when he got that second drink in him. Look the hell out. Because he was coming with vengeance, and he wasn't going
to
stop.
OU Mike said, happy Thanksgiving to all the guys and listeners out there, including the racist jackass. I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
I don't know who the racist jackass would be.
I wouldn't know.
Maybe it's me, because I got called a racist yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, maybe he's referring to me.
Oh, because of that tweet. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hateful ass El Jefe.
Yeah, you're still bitter about that.
Yeah, I was not happy.
I just got to warn you.
He did apologize.
And I'm glad you did apologize. I'm glad to see that you haven't shied away from participating. But at the same time, I can't see that based on what we heard off air, I can't say this one's going away quickly.
It was very sincere.
That left a mark.
It was sincere in his apology, and I accept the apology. It's going to take a week to get over that.
Unless El Jefe takes home. The unmarked squad car and gets down here with food for you.
Yeah. I'm a lot of things.
You can be bought by food.
Yes. I'm a lot of things. Racist would be the least of them. That pisses me off pretty bad. So that and bees scare me. So there's my two hot buttons.
Okay.
Now you know my weaknesses, Joel.
The doc is all over it today on Twitter, but he wants to know, are you into duck sausage?
I don't know. See, that's...
No chance.
Yeah, I know what that is. That's like saying, do you like Wendy's?
Yeah. Doc sometimes can be real clever and slide one by.
Yeah,
he ain't
nice
slide
try,
that
dude.
By.
That's like, no, bro. I went through third grade. I know those jokes.
Scott already offered you duck sausage today.
I know. These guys like act like I didn't go through like junior high and high school with these jokes as well. I know these jokes. I'm a comedian. I didn't write any of those. I'm a mature adult.
Well, it depends on who you talk
to
there.
You didn't even hesitate.
No way. All right, so we've got a lot of Thanksgiving talk going on, and it's the right time to do it, and it's going to be a fun weekend for everybody, and lots of food, lots of football. So if you want to talk about the football part, there are some big football games this weekend, and Nick, you can probably do Nick picks between now and the end of the show, and Keenan can participate as well, but there's a lot of great games to choose from, and the big rivalry games, which normally you go, not so good. Washington State is good. Oklahoma State is a great one this year with a lot of implications for the Big Four at the end of the year. And Oklahoma State now lobbying that Western Michigan loss should be removed because of the bad call on intentional grounding, giving them one extra play, and then the lateral hip Hail Mary play worked out. So they're saying ifs, buts, candies, nuts, but they should only have one loss. And if Oklahoma State would beat Oklahoma, they should be the team in the Final Four. Some people think that's an argument. So you got that game, then you got Ohio State, Michigan, which is huge, and now finally one of the two that have been in the top four all season is going to be weeded out, I think. But although Michigan lost to Iowa, they still found a way back into the Final Four. So it'll be interesting. And again, like I told you, as much as everybody thinks this system is all good, dandy, and figured out, there is a legitimate, not even a possibility, it's a probability, that there will be a Big Ten championship game that will not involve Michigan or Ohio State. There will be a Big Ten champion that will not be Michigan or Ohio State. And between Michigan and Ohio State, there'll be one of those two teams in the Final Four, and that Big Ten champion will not be there.
So who's your Big Ten champion in that scenario?
The Big Ten champion is going to be the Wisconsin Badgers, and the team in the Final Four is going to be Ohio State. And Travis and I have gone back and forth on this, how he picked Michigan. I think you picked Michigan.
I think I did, yeah.
Someone else picked Michigan. I just think, especially now with O'Korn, the ex-U of H quarterbacking Michigan, I think because of the balance and the talent on both sides of the football, and because I don't think there's another team in the country besides Ohio State that can challenge Alabama, I just think Ohio State's too talented. Let me know what you think. And let all of us know what you think. Barry, what do you think?
I think that you're picking Wisconsin not as an objective sports talk radio guy.
Oh, no, I am.
But as a Wisconsin honk.
I'm looking at a team that has beat three of the five top 25 teams that they have faced this year, including two in the top 10. I'm looking for a team that gave Michigan all they could handle and took Ohio State to overtime.
Penn
State.
Penn State.
It's going to be Wisconsin, Penn State, and the Big Ten Championship.
Okay.
And then it's going to be Michigan, Ohio State, and then that winner is going to end up being in the Final Four.
How do you figure it's Penn State on the other side?
Look at it. All they got to do is win out. They got to win one more game and they're in because they beat Ohio State. They are in unless they lose. Penn State will be in, and if Wisconsin beats Minnesota, they are in. And then Michigan and Ohio State play,
so
but neither
Michigan
one of
wins,
them will sniff the Big Ten championship. That's why I said it's how screwed up it is.
But if Michigan wins, why wouldn't they be in over Penn State? If Michigan wins out. Like they have one loss, and it was to Iowa.
Right, but they don't have a tiebreaker because they don't play Penn State this year.
So that would be a tie, though, right? It would be
Side. Right, and via the tiebreaker, Michigan is out, Penn State's in. I've already done the research, but we can look at it.
It's still
the best conference in the entire country this year.
What a dumb conference.
Dumb, but better than the SEC. Hey, we got plenty of show left to go, and now we're starting to talk football, so now it's really getting good. Come on in and join us, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Give us a text message to that same number, and we'll think about responding unless you have cowardly keyboard confidence, in which case, keep it to yourself and keep on moving along. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Look, and I forgot, and you're absolutely right. I know Michigan smoked Penn State, but everything that I've read to this point has said that Penn State is in if they win. Now, I don't know if that's assuming that Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State, which is a bad assumption
to make. It is. That's what I was confused about.
Because I asked you, because I'm like, what did I miss here? Because I've been reading all these tiebreaker scenarios where Penn State wins and they're in.
I mean, if Michigan wins, they are definitely in because they would be the only one-loss team in the division. It would give their overall division, overall, Penn State's 9-2. Ohio State and Michigan are both 10-1. So you would have 11-1 Michigan, 10-2 Ohio State, and whatever Penn State does, win or lose, the best they could be was 10-2. So I don't know why you wouldn't have Michigan in as
other people
as
saw
side.
It too. I've seen it but all over that thing. Penn State would do it, but it makes perfect sense because Michigan beat Penn State.
I will real quickly try to read to you the scenario on the Big Ten site. It says if two teams are tied, the winner of the game between the two tied teams shall be the representative. So even if it was Penn State and Michigan that ended up tied, then it would be Michigan because they would have the win over Penn State. If three or more teams are tied, the different scenarios, it would be steps 1 through 6 will be followed until determination is made. If only two teams remain tied after that, the winner goes on.
I guess
so. The record of three tied teams will be compared against each other. The records of three tied teams will be compared within their division. The record of three tied teams will be compared against the next highest placed teams in their division in order of finish. And then it goes on down.
And this is
six
why
scenarios.
I don't like
the last one is a random draw.
I don't like when the conference has got this big for the very reason that every year you don't play everybody. It used to be you play everybody in the Big Ten. That's your schedule. So, you know, you play the nine other teams. And then now it's like this year we don't, you know, first thing you do, you look at the schedule is who you're not playing. Because if you can luck out and not play Ohio State, and it used to be Ohio State, Michigan State, now it's Ohio State, Michigan, you're like, wow, that's a sweet deal because you got a chance to really do something nationally then. But inevitably in the Big Ten, you're going to get smash mouthed by somebody at the top of one of the two divisions. But that's my bad because I do remember the game. I just, everything that I've read said, and it's still probably, there's a high probability it's going to happen because the game's at the Horseshoe. So Ohio State is probably going to beat Michigan. Okay, and that's where we can debate this because,
I mean,
like
you're
saying probably,
like it's a,
like I just think with Okorn, with Okorn as the starting quarterback for Michigan now, and already they were limited on offense. Look, a very limited Wisconsin offense lost 14-7 to Michigan and literally had plenty of opportunities to win that game. And I don't, like I said, I've told you guys all year, besides the offensive line and the running backs, I don't think Wisconsin got any offense at all. No. So Michigan's defense impresses me and their special teams. But I think Ohio State's as loaded as any team in the country, not named Alabama. So that it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, and Josh, amongst other tweets, said that Vegas has Michigan at as an underdog. OSU is a 6.5-point favorite because it's at the Shoe, like you said. I just don't know if I would go in a rivalry game and count them. Just like we were talking about off air a couple of breaks ago, I feel like Vanderbilt, I think a lot of people might be sleeping on Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt could beat Tennessee. As crazy as that sounds, but in rivalry games like that, you see it happen more often than not.
Look, Minnesota could beat Wisconsin, even though that game's at Camp Randall in Madison.
I hope
Minnesota is not bad. And Wisconsin, I keep telling you guys, again, last week against Purdue, the first quarter was a disaster, and I kept saying, kind of like you always say about A&M, I kept saying, this is one of those games Wisconsin's supposed to win, so they're going to lose one of these. They always do.
Yeah.
And then they just came on like gangbusters, and J.J. Watt's brother got a pick six, and they turned it around. But I have not been impressed. This is like the biggest overachievement year for the Badgers in I can't tell you how long. And they've won numerous Big Ten championships. But this is not one of those years. I did not see this coming. So I still think they're overrated. But I still think they're going to end up in the Big Ten championship. So it'll be interesting to see. I know that to clear that up, my bad on the Michigan-Penn State thing. But everything that I was reading and everything I've read to this point said Penn State, if they win, they're in. So I guess that's assuming that Michigan would lose to Ohio State.
I think so. Okay. I think so. We're getting some tech. We'll go to some calls, but real quick, somebody said they used to work at Best Buy. They used to be closed on Thanksgiving, but if they work there now and they were open on Thanksgiving, they'd quit. I don't blame you. I think this is wrong. Somebody said this. Oh, Corey in Houston said, my fiance's parents in Beaumont make crawfish etouffee as well as turkey and the traditional sides. Oh, that sounds so good.
Etouffee is good, but you know what? I'm just not a crawfish guy. I got sick once on crawfish. Oh.
He said, I like my meals like I like my schools, fully integrated, mix it all up. Yeah.
So I could do that. Big time with the mashed potatoes and the stuffing.
And then, of course, we're getting tons of texts.
They compliment each other. Michigan. It works out.
Yeah, and look, I'm the first one to admit when I was wrong, and I was wrong. I forgot that game, and that's my bad.
I know,
and I'm just going by what I've read. So
we're all going to make mistakes on this radio program.
It's interesting though. It like I said,
the vulture circle
for the system.
Yeah,
and to prove that the system still has flaws with four teams.
Yeah,
I would prefer to see that actually happen this year. That the conference champion will win the conference championship game, and won't sniff the Final Four. But a team within that conference will represent that conference in the Final Four. That will tell you that four is not enough. That maybe eight is the answer. I don't know, and I don't have the answer for the perfect scenario. But one way or another, I don't think four is enough teams. And if you really want it to sort itself out so that every year you can be convinced you got the best two teams playing or the best team won and they were involved in it, then I don't think four is enough. I don't know what you guys think.
I wouldn't mind six or eight. I think as long as they get the top four teams, then I'm okay with that. Because, I mean, if you look at and you have to look, well, do you think anyone that would be five through eight would have a chance at winning it all? Honestly, I mean, really and truly, is anyone going to beat Alabama? It doesn't matter if it was a 16 team playoff. I don't think anybody's beaten Alabama. So.
Yeah, well, there'll be more possibility of
upsets, sure.
Right, but I don't know if that exactly.
Yeah,
Alabama would be still be a tough beat.
Let's. I know you're. I got you. You're busy. You must be angry tweeting somebody.
No, I'm not. No anger at all. Although Josh tried to stir it up by saying, "I think both possible teams from the Big Ten East will beat Wisconsin in the championship," and I said, "Quite frankly, I'm done with you today, Josh."
Russ has been holding a while. Russ, you're on, man. What's up?
I was calling to tell Joel about the Michigan Penn State game, but he corrected himself.
I also
wasn't going to dog you out for it. Tell you, but you're forgetting about the guy named Jabril Peppers. He's going to have a defensive touchdown, an offensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown to upset Ohio State, and Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship. And win or lose the Big Ten championship, could they not go to the playoff then?
Hey, Russ.
Russ, can I ask a question? Can I get the other side of that and bet like a lot of money?
Yeah. Russ, you a Michigan fan, Russ?
I mean, it's a reach, but come on, man.
Russ, let me guess, you a Michigan fan?
I am, just a little bit.
You got a big M or a Wolverine tattooed on the hip or the butt cheek?
I was going to say, that didn't sound like a fully educated. That didn't sound like fully educated. It sounded like some homerism in there. But I appreciate the passion. I like Peppers as well.
He's a hell of a talented player.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's going to be enough against OSU.
Russ, my big problem is he doesn't see the ball enough on offense, and that quarterback scenario bothers me. It worries me.
Oh.
Russ, call back. Cut. We cut you, but you can call back. We'll get your take on that. If you want to call back, we'll get more on that. But Russ, good call. Thanks a lot, and happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully, if you got more to say, you can call back. All right. Jonathan, you want in next. What's up, man?
I mean, y'all touched on a lot of points. I think, you know, it really is testing the system right now. I think it's so subjective with 12 individuals who are going to think differently about different things. You know, we could have a scenario where Ohio State and Michigan give us the game of the century this weekend, you know. There's a lot of hype around it. And who's to say that, you know, what we would want that. You know, the viewership would want that. I, as a fan, would want that. I have no allegiance to either school, but I would like to see if that game is amazing. I would have no problem with them both being in a playoff and just seeing if they could get through, you know, their first round and meet in the championship again. Like, that would be awesome as a fan, you know. And secondly, how upset were you guys with U of H just sitting at, what were they, at 19-20? I was just so upset. UT at the beginning of the season, you know, beat a really bad Notre Dame team that just happened to be ranked up there and shot up from unranked to number 11. U of H, yes, had the really bad loss against SMU, but come on, man. Beat Louisville soundly, and they handled Oklahoma. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, we covered the what-if scenarios U of H has got to do the whole ifs, buts, candies, nuts, and close but no cigars and the what ifs, because the what if they had handled their business against Navy and SMU, you'd be having a whole different scenario. But, Nick, you were dead on. I mean, with where we thought U of H would land and where they got in, right there between 20 and 25, I think that's right.
Here's the problem.
It's fair.
You have to go in and look at the other two lost teams ahead of you and figure out who they lost to and compare that to who U of H lost to. And it's not even really close so far.
Right.
If you're running through, I mean, the next two lost team above them is West Virginia. West Virginia lost to Oak State and Oklahoma. That doesn't compare to Navy and SMU. I'm sorry. I'm not putting them ahead of Oklahoma State. I totally get it.
But question for you guys out there too: does it matter that do the committee's opinions matter more than what you just said, Barry, about when you look at opponents and losses and things like that? Because are they going to weigh that Oklahoma State loss that should have been a win and say and lean more towards they should be a one loss team if they had gotten the call right? And then it goes back to my buddy that's an Ohio State fan brought this up the other day, and it's a valid point. If you beat a team, and when you beat them, they were top three or top five, but like Stanford. Stanford was a top seven team when Washington beat them. Stanford since has fallen off the map. When you're looking at it from the committee standpoint now, where do you rate that win? Was that a top seven win, or was that you beat a team that really ended up sucking? Question for you two guys. Question for you guys listening. Give us your opinions on that as well. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gal Media to donate to your favorite hosts. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick, till 4. Keenan McCardell joins us in the next hour, and we've had some great conversation going with you guys, both sports and non-sports related. The food talk has been fantastic. The college football talk is getting better.
I just ordered food, by the way, because apparently no one loves me.
Well, they love you. They love you with duck sausage.
No, yeah. Nobody brought me food. Nobody even offered.
Well, let me ask you this.
You know,
just to show you how much people don't love you. Did you ever get a mattress?
No. Never got a gun. Nothing.
That's where I was going next. So.
But my dude Joe at Coastal Pest Management did come out. Was going to be there in case I did have bed bugs. I didn't. He treated me right. Good old Joe. Coastal Pest Management. Yeah. And but nobody, I can't get Falbo's to bring no pizza.
They did.
Yeah, I know.
Monday, they brought a boatload of everything, and it was phenomenal.
Chicken Alfredo.
I hate you so much.
Greek salad, deep dish hand-tossed stuffed pizzas.
This means nothing to me now.
All different toppings. Interns are going to eat for the next week.
Oh, God. I ordered food, and Yuli is nice and sweet enough to go get it for me across the street, so. Very nice of her. Very kind.
We'll have to let her get on.
Terry Lee said, what about an 8-team scenario where the top 4 seeds get home field advantage? I'm all for an 8-team playoff.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I have no problem if you can work it out logistically. I think that's the problem. You start extending the season even more.
You know what I do?
It's more money for everybody.
But you know what I do like about the system, regardless of it, especially if it's eight? I hate the cupcake games early in the year. I like when the teams that are supposed to be the best in the country play a full schedule and don't play Mother Teresa's School of the Blind in the middle, either preseason or like right smack dab in the middle when you're like, who's so-and-so playing? They might have a tough matchup. No, they're playing, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, but
Rice.
Cornell.
Whatever. Here's the thing, though. I don't mind those games so much. They're tune-up games. Everybody knows it. Plus, sometimes those teams win, North Dakota State.
Oh, North Dakota State now is a different story.
Sometimes those teams win when they beat Michigan or whatever. I think it was North Dakota State that beat Michigan, right? A while back, remember? Opening day.
North Dakota State 3 years in a row beat big time Division I. But, they beat Michigan 1 year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's also a big payday for those schools.
Well, sure it is. Yep.
And so I think it's not fair. Why take those away? I mean, you give your kids, your young kids, a chance to play in a game, like in a big stadium, because usually those teams travel. So they'll go to A&M and play You know, and so that's a, it's a big game that a lot of people can, and it's a tune-up game. I have no problem with those, but if you're going to do them, don't be bitching about you not making any bowl games or any playoffs because your strength of schedule was so weak. So right. I think you take the good with the bad.
That's why I'm saying you got to start playing more big-time opponents, and you got to, that's what I like, because I hate, oh, everybody gets jacked up, and the, you know, the first three college football games of the year are really good matchups, like this year, the U of H Oklahoma game. But then after that, you see 2 weeks of just, God, why do they even play it? With the exception of the team that's the heavy underdog is getting a big payday, like Barry said. Yeah. So at least if we can eliminate some of those kind of cupcake matchups and get more competitive games out of all this too, I love that. But the main thing is just to get it right at the end of the season. You just want the right teams in the mix and the best teams with a chance to win it.
Yeah, I agree.
Simply, right?
Somebody texted and said, Barry, you're right. We need to lay off each other. We all make mistakes, but very few of us catch ourselves on fire. I don't...
Well, it started out good.
Yeah.
In the spirit of giving and Thanksgiving.
It was so pleasant until...
And then the torch was lit, so to speak.
You know, that's why I tell the stories. They're fun. You as well, I don't care.
Where do you want to go, Bear?
Well, let's go longest hold time, which will be Sean in Cyprus. Sean, what's up, man?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to give my opinion. I know you talked about, like, Stanford being high-ranked and yep. how they lost and how they fell off.
Right.
I don't think it should matter. I think when they lose, whoever beats them at that time, that's when they should look at it. Because at the time, they could be ranked 7, 6, 5, 4, whoever. You know, if they suck, they suck. They fall off, they fall off. But for me, that just says that there are certain teams that are overrated every year and that are ranked a certain position every year because of who they are. Not necessarily because of how they actually play until they find out that they suck. But if Washington beat Stanford and they were 7 at the time, I think Washington deserves a shot at it because they beat a ranked team. Just like when... Houston beat Oklahoma. Nobody mm-hmm. expected it. I think Penn State, when they beat Ohio State, should have been ranked up a lot higher in the polls because of what, you know, Texas did that to Notre Dame, and look where Texas went. But I think a lot of these teams are just overrated. And, you know, but for the playoff system, at the time that they lose to this team, I think that's what the committee should look like, not based on what the team is doing now. That's just my opinion. But I can hang up, guys, and take y'all's feedback as well.
Sean, appreciate the call. Happy Thanksgiving, my man. Look, I agree with that. I mean, here's my thing. You know, it's always about, remember before we got to this playoff scenario where people would say, it's mm-hmm. not how many losses you have, it's when you take them. I was shocked when Michigan lost to Iowa and still was in the top four. And Clemson as well. Clemson loses and Michigan loses and they both stay in the top four. To me... At this point in the season, if you lose to an unranked team,
yeah,
kind of taking what Sean said about playing a team that's ranked when you play them, the flip side of that is you're playing a team that's not ranked and you lose, and then you maintain a spot in the best four teams in the country.
Yeah, you should get some credit for beating the team that's ranked at the time,
right?
Because you contributed then to causing them to be unranked,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean...
That's a good point, too.
U of H beating OU and then them falling out or falling low, they should get credit for part of that. But I don't think it should be full credit. I mean, it's like, you know, which is why I like in a sense that it's not just computers doing this, that you got to do some eye tests. You can look at an OU team and go, yeah, they lost to U of H, but, you know, they've beat these teams or they've done...
But is it safe to say at the end of the year the committee is sitting around in a couple of easy chairs going, you know, when we're trying to find that fourth team, they did beat Stanford, but Stanford turned out to be kind of a stinker, whereas so-and-so beat so-and-so, which ended up having a great
It's a difference. I agree. If you end up beating a team that goes 4-5 and they were ranked highly, well, then that's different. But if they only have one or two losses and fall, and you're contributed to one of those two losses, then I do think you should get credit. And by the way, it wasn't North Dakota State that beat Michigan.
Appalachian State. Yeah, but wait. But
one of the states.
No. Go back in the last, pre-Harbaugh, in the last 5 years, Michigan had a really bad loss to start the year. And I'm almost positive.
I think it was Appalachian State.
I'm going to look.
That's the one
You're
I was thinking of.
You're just going by
Jason. No. That's the one I was thinking of. Right, we'll and but I'm using North Dakota State because they're out there beating up on Division One, so to speak, schools. I know that's old school, but I always like the Division One versus Division Two. I don't like the FBS and F whatever the other one is. I can never get it right.
Those
FSC.
Initials.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey, Jesse, you're next up. What's up?
First of all, I love your show. I listen to y'all every day. I don't take it off 97.5. And, anyway.
We appreciate that, Jesse. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Oh, same deal, same deal. Anyway, you know, this ain't got nothing pertaining to the college football. You know, it's just something I've been wanting to ask. You know, maybe y'all see me different. You know, when teams get go, they need, they're starting one, they need a first down, or they start, you know, it's first and goal or fourth and goal, and they bring in the jumbo package. Does that make sense to y'all that they bring in more people, you know, to block, and it's gonna, that just means they're gonna bring more defensive linemen to, you know, to just clutter it up? Wouldn't y'all think that it just spread them out, you know, five because they're five, you know, spread out the other guys? Wouldn't it be easier? I mean, just to get that, you know, that 1 yard that you need or whatever. I mean, is that just me or what do you think?
Well, I think you're talking about at the line, but the problem is when they bring in those jumbo packages. You still have to account for linebackers or safeties that are playing up close to the line if the defense goes, you know, to counter the jumbo package as well. So now you've got to get to the next level, and if you've only got 1 yard to go, that's kind of the point, right? You can get the guys at the line blocked, which opens up that next level. Now if the defense gets penetration, but no, there's the reason the jumbo package exists is because you have as many guys inside the box, so to speak, on the offensive side to be able to block everyone that the defense is putting in there as well. If you spread them out, you still have the same problem because you're only going to spread them out with, let's say you go five wide. Well, you now it's quarterback sneak. If you go four wide and have one running back, you still got to account for the linebackers. So now what do you do? Because if they put a man-on-man on the line, now your running back is basically is one-on-one with linebackers. So I think from a jumbo package perspective, I get why they do it. Does it always work? No. There's a lot of bodies around there.
Well, but I think, and I'll say why. This too.
And again, I'm not an X's and O's guy, but that would seem the logic to me is you need to bring in as many people as you can to block the defense that's gonna you know.
But one of the biggest problems I have in short yardage situations is nothing ticks me off more if they run two different plays.
Plus
one, the short handoff to the fullback, which the guy's never a runner anyway, doesn't get that full head of steam you hope. Or two, when they don't do what they're supposed to do, which is pound it to get the yard, when they try and get cute and spread it out around the edge, and all that line has to do is just slide one way or the other.
Well, yeah, and the problem is if you do, if running it outside becomes an issue because it's a further way to go. I mean, shortest distance between two lines is or 2 points is a straight line. The shortest distance right. to run
those two play is that half yard,
not 15 yards out. Yeah, so it's. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an X's and O's guy. That's a Sean Salisbury question more than me.
Clarence, hang in there. We see you. Appreciate the participation from everybody today on the phones, text messages, and on Twitter. And we are still here till 4 o'clock, and we're having a good time. So please join the show, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. And you know the handles because you follow the show. And if you don't, you can just put our names in and do a search, and we'll pop up. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry with Nick behind the glass till 4 o'clock. We've got some pretty good conversation going on, including college football, and that's where we're going to next, as Clarence has been patiently waiting, and he wants to get on the topic. And Clarence, you have clearance, and you're not spelled Clarence today, which is a bonus in itself.
How y'all guys doing? That's because y'all beautiful sounding intern actually asked how to spell my name before she just went and wrote it down. So
it's because Yuli's a professional.
That means Yuli's growing up in the world. That's
she
good.
Knows what's going on.
All right. What I wanted to say is, as far as the college football system is concerned, I believe probably 2-3 weeks in, they figured that it's just going to be Alabama and someone at the end. So what I started noticing is I think when they're doing the rankings, they're looking for who's going to be the best matchup, will promote ticket sales and money and makes you want to watch at the end of the year. What matchup is going to be better for Alabama where it just don't be a blowout and a snore fest? And what I'm looking at is every team that was in the top four past couple of weeks had quality quarterbacks with Louisville and Missouri until he got hurt. I mean, not Missouri, I'm sorry, Michigan until that guy got hurt. And now JT Barrett in Ohio State. And excuse me, oh, sorry, driving. And now I'm looking at it. Louisville lost, so they lost horribly, so they couldn't help but knock them out the top five, out the top four. And now all they have is JT Barrett, and hopefully that guy for Michigan comes back in time. So that's what I'm looking at. It's like, which matchup is going to be better for Alabama? Because everybody knows it's going to be Alabama and someone. They just don't want it to be a boring game at the end of the year. I'll hang up and see what you guys think. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, too, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Clarence. I don't know that they're doing it based off the matchups for Alabama because there would be way too much of a stink made over that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If this was strictly done based off of that theory, I think you would see more. Well, one, you would see some SEC team possibly up there in the top four. That's not. I mean, I think they have this right for the most part. I'm not going to argue with any of the teams that are in the top four right now. And if you missed it yesterday, it was Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson is your top four. And I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. Some could make the case for Washington. I'm just not impressed with what they've done. I have no problem with the way the committee's handling it so far. And, you know, I mean, you can argue about some of the stuff towards the bottom. Navy at 25, who have they really beat? I mean, other than U of H, but U of H is 20. But they have some bad losses in there as well at 8-2. So, I don't know. I tend to think that they've gotten it right for the most part. I think this is working way better than the whole computer experiment.
Agree
for
a with
few
that.
Years.
The whole BCS thing was kind of a disaster.
I like this better. I really do.
I do too. And I think ultimately,
except for Condoleezza Rice.
Okay, but
is she still doing it?
She's still on the committee, I believe. Yeah, I just think 8 is the right number to make sure that everybody that possibly deserves a seat at the table gets one, and then they weed themselves out. Because everybody's inevitably going to get that one bad loss, or they're going to slip up a little bit. Alabama's the exception this year, and Alabama's loaded as always, or in the last couple of years anyway. But for the most part, as long as you get it right, that's all I'm concerned about.
But here's the thing. If you start saying 8, then you got a team like Colorado that's going, whoa, 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 whoa. Why aren't we in? You know, Colorado's saying,
they've had a good year.
People are like, well, OU lost to U of H and OSU, but then Colorado's going to come around and say, well, our losses were Michigan and USC. Why aren't we getting a playoff opportunity? At some point, you just got to be like, this is what it is.
Yeah, I understand that at some points, always someone's going to have their feelings hurt. I just want to make sure that you don't leave out a team that definitely deserved a seat at the table. So, you know, if you get 4, say the scenario plays out the way it is right now, and obviously it won't because the two teams are playing this weekend, but say that this is your final 4 and Washington's left out. They have a legitimate argument to be in, and it's not just like a, oh, by the way, someone overachieved or they played their asses off this year. That's where I would really feel bad. And I think that 8, at least, you might get a few teams that maybe are on the borderline or probably maybe didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But at least with 8, you know that your top 5 are going to be the best 5 in the country, and they were all year long.
But see, that's why I'm okay with 6.
And 6, listen, I mean, look, if you can do it with 2 teams getting a bye, then do 6.
That's what I would do. Okay. If I were going to expand it, I would go to 6 and give 1 and 2 a bye. But I wouldn't go past that. And then, you know, then people are like, well, Penn State, OU, what about that? No. Then do better. You know what? Don't lose 2 games. Leave no doubt in your mind that you belong in the top 6.
I'm fine with 6 or 8. As long as, like I said, as long as they get it right to the point of, and I don't think some teams want to buy and other teams are dinged up and said they can use a buy. But that's why in bowl games, when teams have to wait a month, month and a half to play their final game of the year, a lot of them fall way off in terms of the level of play.
Yeah.
But as long as you get it right with those top 4, 5, 6 teams, then I'm fine with it, whether it's 6 or 8. But I think that's ultimately the number that they're going to settle on.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I'm fine with 6. I think 8 may be too much, but I don't know. I'm still good with 4. I mean, I think they're getting it right because I don't think there's any doubt that those are the 4 best teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if you want to be included in that, then be one of the 4 best teams. And if that means, you know, Big 12 a couple years ago that you need to have a championship game or you need to have a stronger strength of schedule, then those are the things you need to do. You know the rules going in. You know what they're going to be looking at. I mean, so I'm fine with 4. I wouldn't mind 6. I think 8 may be a little much, but that's just me. All right. What's up, Joe and Katie? You there?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you. No, I was just listening to you guys, and I kind of agree. I mean, four is good, but I like eight only because I would like to see some random one sneak in and get a shot because, you know, it is year to year. I don't want to see too many schools just by name, you know, that might help influence. I know schedule and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but I do like underdogs. I like people coming out of left field and being able to play against the big dogs and see if they win.
Yeah, and Joe, to that point, they have to achieve and overachieve for the entire season, not just for one game. But if they do that, then I want them to have a seat at the table at the end to possibly upset somebody. I agree with that.
Somebody said on Twitter, college football needs to do like the NFL and go top six. Power five conference champions and a wild card team with the best resume with the top two getting a bye. I don't know if I agree with that.
Power five conference champions, you could run the risk of losing both teams in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, that's why I think you need to have the best six teams in football. That means there's going to be some conferences that have...
I was going to say, regardless of conference championship, yeah, just get the best six.
Yeah, and I would prefer that. Kind of like we talk about that in basketball. You know, you got guys that aren't getting the conference championship or, you know, are getting lower seeds instead of going by best record in the conference overall, which might be a better option.
Hey, let us know what you think. We've got two in the books, one to go, and in this big hour, Keenan McCardell will join us, so we'll definitely indulge in some football conversation. I'm sure he's got plenty to say about Thanksgiving, college football, pro football, and more. Keenan's not short on words. He's big on teeth, though.
Can I tell you real quick before we go to break? My dumbass, I ordered Smash Burger. Yuli went to go pick it up for me. Apparently, which I didn't do, but my order went to the Yale location. So now I've got to pay twice for this. So there's a Smash Burger order at the Yale location.
All
just
you
waiting
need to
on
do
me.
Is tweet that and tweet it with it. No, put their Twitter handle on it. Tell them where they screwed up, and then we'll see how good their customer service is about taking
there
care
you
of
go.
It.
Because I picked the right store. I'm not
between
a
now and the end of the show, you better have a response. Let's see if you can do that during the break. Hey, otherwise it's an early happy Thanksgiving for you because you double paid.
Yeah.
We have two in the books, one to go, and we want you to be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5. Let's do it. I got a feeling,
that tonight's gonna... ESPN 97.5.